at any rate, had a great time, and I guess even as a minister, you need a little bit of that R&R, relaxation and rest, or rest and relaxation, and it kind of gives you a little, just a refreshing, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Well, we're continuing in the life of Jacob, and part of the life of Jacob could be kind of in chapters. Each of us have different stages and chapters in our life, and that's true with Jacob. And the interesting thing that God has given us, he wrote these chapters, or had these chapters written in Jacob's life, to help us. You know, we each have things we go through, times of good times and bad times, and just as he brought Jacob through all of that, he will also bring us through the chapters in our life. We remember the earlier chapters. In fact, sibling rivalry, they were fighting in the womb. I mean, can you imagine that? That's I mean, there's a brother is meant for contention. I don't guess sisters ever have contentions, but a brother was definitely meant for contention. And sometimes you just have that, oh, I don't know, I can do better than you, or whatever it is, that struggles that siblings have. And then Jacob wrestled away, in a sense, the birthright of his brother, who was born first, with a bowl of soup. And then also he connived and got the blessing from his brother. And, of course, Esau was pretty upset. And so Jacob took off. And his mother heard that Esau was going to try to kill his brother, and he took off. Well, Jacob's life of difficulty or contentions, much of which he caused himself, did not end with his struggles with his brother, but he ran into somebody that probably was almost as cagey as he was, and that was his brother-in-law, ultimately the brother-in-law, Laban. And so we're going to start in chapter 29 of Genesis and do a little reading here and see, actually, this isn't the double wedding picture that you might imagine for Jacob, because he had a double wedding of two brides, and he didn't know it until after he got into the wedding. But let's read a little bit here in chapter 29. It says, "And Jacob continued on his journey and came to a land of the eastern peoples, and there he saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from the well, and the stone over the mouth of the well was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well." You know, that's kind of a protection. Why would you want to put a stone over the mouth of a well? Or why would you have walls up? You know, like the wells we see, they have a little wall up, and sometimes they'll have a top over it or a little roof over it. Well, you don't want something dead or dirty falling into the well. It's poisoned the water. So they would put a stone over the well, just kind of an informational thing that they had, or for your information. "And Jacob asked the shepherds, 'My brothers, where are you from?' And they said, 'From Haran,' they replied." That's his family, his uncles and aunts and all those are up in that area. "And he said unto them, 'Do you know Laban, Nahor's son, grandson?' 'Yes, we know him,' they answered." And that would be Rebekah's sister, Isaac's wife's sister. "And Jacob asked them, 'Is he well?' 'Yes, he is,' they said. 'And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep.' 'Look,' he said, 'the sun is still high, and it is not time to water the flocks. For the flocks to be gathered, water the sheep and take them back out in the pasture.'" Jacob knew a little bit about sheep, he had probably raised many of them in his own country. And they said, we can't until the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the well's mouth, or the mouth of the well, and then we can water the we'll water the sheep. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. Then when Jacob saw Rachel, Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled away the stone from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. You get home with family and sometimes you just really feel such a overwhelming sense of just nostalgia or love or whatever, and you it makes you want to cry a little bit, you know. Even men, I hope, can feel that kind of closeness and that appreciation for family. At any rate, he kissed Rachel and began to weep out loud, and he had told that he was a relative of her father and son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." And after Jacob stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you're my relative of mine, should you work for nothing? Tell me what your wages will be." And Laban said, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah had weak eyes. Some people say she was kind of hard on the eyes. I don't know whether that's the truth or what the answer was, but she was not the favored one. She was not the one that was the favored, and sometimes maybe we feel that way in life. And Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful, and Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, "It's better to give you to her for a wife, to give you to her, give her to you than to another man. Stay here with me. And Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but it seemed like just a few days while he was smitten love at first sight. I don't guess any of you've ever had that. Nah. You think through everything and you logically deduce, is this the right person for me? Or, well, I don't know. Anyway, he was madly in love with her. After the 7 years, it seemed like only a few days, and after the 7 years, then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. His time is complete. I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when the evening came, he took his daughter Leah. Now, you want to talk about waking up in the morning and being surprised. Anyhow, took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter for an attendant. In the morning, apparently she had a veil and it was dark, and he didn't know the difference. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? I have served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why did you deceive me?" And Laban replied, "Is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one? Finish this daughter's bridal week, then I will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years." So, he got a lot of free work out of that guy for 14 years of labor for his daughters. And then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife, and Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter, and Rachel as her to Rachel as an attendant. And Jacob made love to Rachel, and also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban another 7 years. What a story. Of course, they had a lot of different customs than we do today. And we don't have multiple wives, and we have other customs that are so different. And how, girls, would you like your daughter to trade you for 7 years' work for a guy? I mean, that wouldn't be too romantic, would it? But anyhow. In this picture, we see a situation of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. Jacob sowed. What did he sow in his lifetime? Do you remember some of the things he did? What did he do? He deceived. He cheated. You remember the story of his father? He covered his hands. His father was blind. He covered his hands and arms and deceived him. Said, "Are you my son Esau?" He said, "Yes, I'm your son Esau." And he got the blessing from Isaac. You know, whenever we have sown certain things in our lives, you know, let them go out and sow their wild oats is what some parents will say. But whenever we have sown certain things in our lives, it's awful painful to reap some of those things that we have sown. Have you ever reaped something that you sowed? Have you ever did something in your earlier part of your life that now you're paying for? Like, you go out and buy a car, you sow something, you have to pay for it, right? Whatever you do, you have to pay for. Life is not. God does not magically take away the consequences of the things we do. Young people, if you make foolish decisions, if you make immoral or wrong decisions at a young age, guess what? All of us older ones know you pay for it, don't you? There are things in life that if we do them, they will come back in some way or another to haunt us. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, verse 7, do not be deceived. And older people, this is true for you. God is not mocked when we disobey him. A man reaps what he sows. Whosoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. And whosoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You lay the foundation for your future. And what you do matters. And will lead into the, what kind of future do you want? Israel was told, I give you life and death before you. I give you my laws and my teachings for your good. Choose life and live. And every one of us has those choices on a day-to-day basis. If you want a happy marriage, you need to make good decisions in the person you marry. If you want a happy life, you need to make good decisions in the things you do now. If you want a happy home, there are decisions you make right now that matter. Jacob made some awful decisions when he was young that he caused him to have to run away from his parents. He never saw his mother again. When he ran away from his, when he had to leave home. Never saw her again. Rebecca never saw her son again by choosing. God would have worked it out. And some things that we get anxious and want to do and want to accomplish, and we take shortcuts to do it, those shortcuts sometimes pay us back with hard consequences. Also, there's another truth in here that needs to be brought out, and that's in Matthew 7, verse 12. So everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. If you want others to cheat you, if you want others to deceive you, do you want others to deceive you? Do you want others to cheat you? No, we should do unto others what we would have them to do to us. If we could always, you know, they ask the question, what would Jesus do? That's a good question. But another good question is, what would I want the other person to do to me if the situation was reversed? What would I want the other person to do to me if the situation was reversed? And I think we would maybe do a lot differently if we followed that attitude. I think we need to realize how much our actions hurt others. Sometimes we fail to take the responsibility and we don't realize that what we're doing is hurting somebody or can potentially hurt somebody. Now, I'm not saying you always walk on eggshells and never do anything. I'm saying that some of the things, the choices we make, the things we do affect others. And we need to realize what that effect is. How many times I kind of think about the times that I really was not living for God and what that effect that had on my mom and how she grieved over some of those choices that I made. Or some of the ways that we sometimes talk and hurt people. Say things about people. The effect that we have. Say things, gossip. What effect does that have on those that are listening? Or words of forgiveness and kindness, how that affects them. We need to realize that the things we do, we are not just to ourselves, but the choices we make and the things we do affects other people. And then I think we need to also realize how those things not only affects others, but how they affect God. Because God is always there. Does the things we do grieve the heart of God, or do they rejoice the heart of God? This double wedding was quite a fiasco. And Jacob, you know, in life we need to kind of step back a second and say, God, what are you trying to get through to me? How are you trying to show me when I've done wrong and help me to do better? You see, in Jacob's life, I think all these things were to help him to realize that he was called of God and he had to live a different life than what he was living. All these things were to help him to appreciate God and the things that God had given him. So many times in life, we just kind of go like a donkey. And when something whacks us on one side, we go that way. If something whacks us on the other, we go the other way. And not realize that we're human beings and we need to look at where we're going and why. What is God trying to lead us to do? Are we fulfilling the purposes that God has called us to? Or are we just kind of going on our way and taking the blows of life and forgetting that God is in this process? Ultimately, Jacob gets to that point, I think, but it takes him a lot of wax from different directions to do that. Well, Jacob went on to have a family, And the family he has is a big one, and it's just as crazy as the one he started with, as far as some of the things and choices that people made. If we look at chapter 29, verse 31, it says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was not favored," remember, Rachel was the favored one. How would you like to be Leah? How would you like to be the one that wasn't loved, wasn't appreciated? Anyone ever feel unloved or appreciated? It's a tough place to be. But God is watching, isn't he? It says, "Then the Lord saw that Leah was not favored, and he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named the son Reuben, for she said, 'It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now.'" Working for that love, that's a hard place to be, struggling to get the love. "She conceived again, and when she gave birth to the son, she said, 'Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too.' And she named the second one Simeon." And each of these names have something to do with, like, the second one, I think, means heard. And the first one means the Lord will see my misery. "And again she conceived, and she gave birth to a son and said, 'Now my husband will love me or become attached to me.' And she called, 'Because I have borne him three sons.' And she named him Levi." Now, Levi, that's kind of an interesting thing there, because Levi was the priesthood, which in Levi was the priesthood, and that was the attachment that between the priest and God. That was the attachment that was made. So it's interesting how God used that. "She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.'" When God takes you through a difficult time, what is our response? Can we praise the Lord? Can we be like Job, say, "Naked I came into this earth, naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we see God's hand and leading through everything that we do? His love is overwhelming. His love is there, and he takes us through it. We're kind of out of time, I guess, so I have to quit and bring back the rest of this in 2 weeks, I guess. But remember that God is using the events in your life, the good times and the bad, to bring us closer to him. God's hand is always there. His love and watch care is always over us. And he wants us to think about our decisions, the decisions we make, and use them to help others, to encourage others, to live for him. And so we'll pick that up with becoming a family next time we're together. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us these examples in life. You give us Jacob, Lord. And he wasn't a perfect man. He lived, did some things that were pretty terrible. And yet, Lord, you brought him through, just like you can bring us through. Thank you, Lord, and we ask your blessing on the rest of this Sabbath. Guide and direct us and keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to sing a song, "Each Step I Take," number